This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
10 minutes after 6 on this Wednesday morning. First of all, on the farm show, the DTN general opening call. Later this morning, expect corn to open 3 to 4 lower, beans 8 to 9 lower, wheat 6 to 7 lower. The overnight crude oil market, 39 cents lower at 105.77. Brent crude, 28 cents lower at 119.38. The June gold contract, $8.90 lower at $1,653.50, while the U.S. dollar index, 0.398 higher at 79.224. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 633¾, down 1½. July wheat, that was down 14 cents for May wheat once again, 633¾, down 14. July wheat, 643, down 11½. September wheat, 657¾, down 8¾. May corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 659¾, down a half. July corn closed at 629, down 5¼. September corn closed at 550¼, down 10½. May soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1497¾, down 5¼. July beans closed at 1503½, down 2. August beans closed at 1486¾, up 3. May soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 432.50, down 18. July meal closed at 434.20, down 13. August meal closed at 428.70, up 9. May soybean oil yesterday 54.52, down 14. July oil 54.91, down 14. August oil closed at 55.10, down 13. May oats on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 336¼, down a half. July oats closed at 345¼, down a quarter. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois winter grain prices were slightly lower on Tuesday afternoon. Corn futures were weakened by the higher-than-expected planting pace by U.S. farmers. In yesterday's weekly crop progress report, the USDA indicated U.S. farmers had 53% of the nation's corn crop planted, compared to 28% last week and only 12% last year. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 cents lower at 641 to 654, soybeans down 2 to 4 cents at 1479 to 1495. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids dropped 4 to 6 cents at 653 to 664, soybeans 1 to 4 cents lower at 1486 to 1506, and the wheat bids mostly 12 cents lower on Tuesday at 620 to 643. In the St. Louis area, country elevators and mills reported those corn bids down 5 to 8 cents, ranged from 653 to 654. Soybeans fell 2 to 5 cents at 1493 to 1495, and the wheat bids 11 to 12 lower at 634 to 638. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed at 662 to 667, soybeans mostly 4 to 5 lower at 1503 to 1509, and the new crop wheat bids for July 12 delivery down 12 cents at 633 to 643. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators place their producer corn bids in a range of 654 to 683. These same elevators place their soybean prices mixed with quotations at 1523 to 1530. Soft red winter wheat down a nickel at 664 to 665, and Milo range from 572 to 573. That is our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg returning you to WSMI.
Also on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May hogs closed at $83, down 67. June hogs closed at $85.85, down 7. July hogs closed at $86.75, up a half dollar. June cattle yesterday closed at 113.52, down 62. August cattle closed at 116.30, up a dime. October cattle closed at 121.65, up a half dollar. May feeder cattle yesterday closed at 150.17, up 35. August feeders closed at 154.20, up 47. September feeders closed at 155.52, up 65. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market recap.
The closing livestock reports for Tuesday, May 1st. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels and gilts closed $1.05 lower. Carcass base price range 73 to 7704, weighted average of 76.91. Hogs purchased Illinois today 13,700. Illinois direct barrel and gilt trade was steady 53 to 56, and Illinois direct slaughter sales steady to weak. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 43 to 47. 450 to 550 pounds at 45 to 49. Over 550 pounds at 48 to 50. Today's estimated receipts 1,200 and Monday's actuals 475. Pork carcass cutout 77.76, and that is down 18 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter into federal inspection, hogs for today 411,000. Last week 415,000, a year ago 409,000, week to date of 821,000. Cattle for today and last week both 126,000. A year ago, 130,000. Week to date, 238,000. Fox beef cutout values were steady to firm on moderate demand and light to moderate offerings. Total movement today, 148 fab loads with 42 trim. Choice at 190.47, that is up 14 cents. Select at 186.46, and that is up 62 cents. Opening report for the Fairview Livestock Auction, estimated receipts this morning, 300. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers are trading steady to $1.50 lower. Slaughter steers, choice 2s to 3s, 122.5 to 125. Heifers, choice 2s to 3s at 122 to 125. For the afternoon National Slaughter Cattle Review, for Tuesday, negotiated cash trade was at a standstill in the southern and northern plains as well as the western Corn Belt. Not enough sales in any feeding region for a market trend. Negotiated sales week to date of 1,300. At the Arthur Hay Auction on Monday, 796 bells sold. Compared to last week, small squares of hay and wheat straw traded mostly steady to 50 cents higher. Alfalfa, good quality small squares, sold from 4.5 to 5.85. Large squares from 85 to 100. Mixed grass, good quality small squares from 3.5 to 5 even. And wheat straw, good quality small squares from $2 to 3.75. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon for the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock and Grain Market News Service, returning back to WSMI.
And back to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April, Class 3 milk, $15.73 unchanged. For May, $15.27 up 33. For June, $14.83 up 56. Butter for April on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at $146 unchanged. For May, 134 and a quarter, down 3/4. For June, 136 unchanged. Nonfat dry milk on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for April closed at 124 and a half unchanged. For May, 119 unchanged. For June, 114 and 3/4 unchanged. Spot prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday for butter, 135 and a half unchanged. For block cheese, 153 and a half unchanged. For barrel cheese, 146 and a half, up 3 3/4. And the spot price for Class 3 milk, $15.72. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for May, $6.55. For June, $6.31. Corn delivered to Scottville for May, $6.47. For June, $6.23. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for May, $14.90. And for June, $14.93. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.17. For more information or to confirm the bids, you can call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. The pre-opening price is once again corn at Greenfield, $6.55. Corn at Scottville, $6.47. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.90. Wheat at Scottville, $6.17. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, and by Smokey Jennings Chevrolet of Palmyra. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
What is farming smart? It means choosing seed that fits your operation's goals. Select hybrids and varieties of FS High Soy brand soybeans that are part of a comprehensive cropping plan. That's FS Seed and FS Green Plan Solutions from M&M Service Company. That's Farming Smart. And Farming Smart always begins with FS Seed. Talk to M&M Service Company today to learn how FS High Soy brand soybeans and FS Green Plan Solutions can maximize every one of your acres. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies today, windy with a slight chance of a shower. High temperatures today in the mid-80s with southwest winds gusting to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, the high in the mid to the upper 80s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a shower. Low temperatures in the upper 60s, highs in the mid-80s. WSMI weather watcher Bill Huebner of Brighton: over the past 24 hours, a half inch of rain, an inch and a tenth recorded by the Lang family of Coffeen, 6/10 of an inch here at the Weather Center. Right now, south winds at 11 miles per hour, the barometric pressure rising, our temperature 66 degrees. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Finally, a mower with some giddy-up. 9 miles per hour. Introducing the John Deere EasyTrac Z600 series with a 4-year limited warranty at Sloan's. John Deere EasyTracs are easy to turn, easy to handle, and with Deere season financing, now they're easy to own. Your John Deere is here. Get one today at Sloan's. Visit any of Sloan's 11 Central Illinois locations or online at Sloan's.com. Powered up
with Sloan's. And part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by Hickory Grove Family Farms, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, in our farm news today, the farmland forecast provided by Mark Schober of AgWeb.com. Grain markets were range-bound in April as the markets digested the implications of last month's planting report. Soybeans have continued their rally, now stand at a 3-year high after the USDA announced that U.S. farmers will plant the largest corn crop since World War II at the expense of bean acreage. China shocked the market at the end of the month by buying 1.5 million tons of U.S. corn, the largest one-day sale since 1991. Good weather has farmers planting at a record pace across the Corn Belt. 53% of the entire crop has already been planted, compared to the 5-year average of 27% by the end of April. Corn prices closed at $6.60 per bushel and increased by 2.5% in April due to an end-of-month rally after the Chinese were majority buyers in the single largest corn sale in the past 21 years. Prices declined throughout the majority of the month as speculators sold off positions to take profits and were concerned about the estimated 95.9 planted acres for 2012. Favorable planting conditions have some analysts expecting a bumper crop for 2012, although the last few years have shown the weather can be unpredictable. Soybean prices continue to increase this month by 7.1% to close at $15.03 per bushel, a 3-year high. Prices increased due to commercial and speculative buying throughout the month of April on the fear of decreased production in South America. Wheat prices declined by 2% over the month of April, closing at $6.47. Prices again remained stable throughout the month as the USDA estimated U.S. wheat ending stocks for 2011-2012 at 32 million bushel lower in April as feed and residual usage was increased. The BSE flap last week apparently hasn't done too much to red meat exports. From the United States Meat Export Federation, Joe Sheely reports.
This is Joe Sheely with the U.S. Meat Export Federation report. Nearly 1 week after USDA's announcement of a new BSE case in California, a partial import ban by Indonesia remains the only official change in market access for U.S. beef. USMEF President and CEO Philip Tseng said the vast majority of U.S. trading partners have followed sound science and handled news of the BSE case responsibly.
We're pleased with the response of the international markets to what happened last week. The only market that we have officially closed at this point is Indonesia. Thailand has informally said that they're very close to closing, pending what can be discovered as far as the USDA's report. Indonesia's been trying to become more self-sufficient for a long time. And what we've seen here recently is, and the current government they have there, that they've really taken this to the extreme. And so we see that the closure has much, much more to do with them being more self-sufficient and trying to keep foreign competition out. So we see much more involved in Indonesia than just the actual occurrence of last week.
Tseng cautions, however, that maintaining market access is only part of the battle. Effective communication in these markets is critical to maintaining consumer demand and protecting U.S. market share.
The fact that we have so few markets that were close to us is very encouraging, but then we have the public side of it that really is going to take more time to do some reassurances to consumers in a lot of these markets. Number one is we try to work with all the key opinion leaders in the market, which would be the press, it would be bloggers, social media, it would be with the leading retailers and food service to make sure that even if the government says the market is open, they have to make an internal decision based on their information. And so we're trying to provide them as much information as we can about the case and about the multiple hurdles and the interlocking safeguards that we have in the production process to give them the assurances that it's fine for them to keep their supermarkets or restaurants open.
For more on this and other trade issues, please visit usmef.org.
And that was Joe Sheely of the United States Meat Export Federation. It's a busy week for the wheat industry. The Wheat Quality Crop Tour is taking place in Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, and Oklahoma. And Japanese flour mill executives are in the country for a tour as well. Steve Mercer of U.S. Wheat Associates says the Japanese are here to learn more about the U.S. wheat crop and how the U.S. wheat foods industry is dealing with various challenges.
These folks are moving toward a situation where these millers are going to have more say over how wheat gets imported. So it's very interesting to see that happening, and we're always pleased to see the Japanese here. They're consistently, year over year, our best customers for U.S. wheat.
Mr. Mercer says the trip is significant because the Japanese are major U.S. wheat customers. Year after year, he says they consistently buy, purchasing more than 10% of the total U.S. exports. He says what they do impacts prices. The executives won't just be looking at wheat crops in the Midwest.
They'll be heading out to California, actually. They're going to be looking at flour mill out in Oakland, California, and looking at some of those markets out there, and then on to Portland.
And the Wheat Quality Crop Tour began on Monday night. Seeding rate studies for soybeans suggest a stand of 100,000 plants per acre should maximize yield. Todd Gleason files this report.
Farmers should try to set their planters so that the stand of soybeans ends up at about 100,000 plants, says Emerson Nafziger from the University of Illinois.
Now, we certainly don't want to plant 110,000 seeds and hope that we get 90% of them to come up. More conservatively, I think 75% emergence is a good, safe number. Usually it's better than that if we're planting into decent conditions. So people are in the 130, 140, 150,000 range generally, and I think that's about the right place to be.
The extension agronomist says there really isn't much point of going to 180, 190, or 200,000 seeds per acre planting rate.
It's sort of a false sense of security, you know, that we could lose half of them. Normally, when we have a big problem with soybean emergence, it's a really big problem, and we end up replanting it anyway. So putting out 20,000 or 30,000 more seeds at planting time doesn't really give us very much safety. The loss in stand from a 3-inch rainfall right after we plant is usually so bad that there's nothing much there to salvage. So I would keep that in mind as well.
The newer the planter, by the way, says Nafziger, the more likely the stand will be good even at lower seeding rates.
And the fact that we're planting with good planter units now makes a difference as well. Drills generally don't provide quite as good an emergence percentage, and the row units that we're using do tend to increase emergence percentage. In terms of row spacing, it's been sort of interesting. I've spoken to farmers that said, oh, 30-inch rows for us yield just as much as 15-inch rows. And certainly there are cases when that happens. Over the last 2 years, we've done this comparison at sites around Illinois. On average, we've had about a bushel and a half higher yield with 15-inch rows than with 30-inch rows.
About half of the Illinois research sites show a positive response to 15-inch rows. The other half showed no response at all. It leads Knapsaker to lean towards 15-inch rows for soybeans.
30-inch rows is a good system for soybeans, but the 15-inch rows, which uses the same planter units, is also a very good system. I've been guilty in the past of describing 15-inch rows as the perfect row spacing for soybeans, and in many ways it is. You get to use a row unit to plant it, which gives you generally good even seed placement, and then you get rows that are narrow enough under almost all conditions. You'll maximize yields from row spacing as narrow as 15 inches.
Knapsaker says it's simply something to pencil in when purchasing a new planter, maybe bigger, and deciding whether or not to buy the split row units. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
On the AM Live program Monday morning, we talked to Sherry Schaefer of 3 Point Inc. in Greenville. She publishes two magazines, Oliver Heritage and Heritage Iron. Ms. Schaefer grew up on a farm where her father used Oliver equipment, and she tells us about the articles in her magazine.
Yeah, we document a lot of the history. I try and find people that work for the company or people that use the equipment, dealers, and I like to get first-hand information off of them. There's too much information out there on the internet that's just hearsay, so I really like to go to the source and get the good stuff that you can't just read anywhere.
And, you know, you're fortunate, I believe, because, you know, they stopped making Olivers. We were talking about that before we went on the air in the early 70s, mid-70s.
Yeah, 1976 was the last model, and the actual last tractor was a 2255 Oliver.
And that really has not been all that long ago in regard to this. So you've still got a lot of folks around that remember the line and still use it, to this day.
Yeah, there's a lot of equipment out there, and our subscriber base, we print about 12,000 of those issues, and it's just very popular. A lot of the people that worked for the company were up in their years at the time. I've been fortunate enough to meet with the presidents of the company and a lot of the higher-ups. Actually, the great-grandson of Oliver, I've met with him several times, and he's 93 years old now.
Coming up Saturday, the Vintage Ag Association of Menard County and the New Salem Lincoln League will co-host an antique farm show at the New Salem State Historic Site just south of Petersburg. Antique tractors and horse-drawn equipment will be featured. On the farm show last weekend, we talked to Ed Whitcomb of the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency, and he explains.
There'll be some area farmers here with some horses and some mules, having some antique farm equipment like horse-drawn plows, planters, drills, discs, things like that. And the Menard County Vintage Ag Association will be here too with their antique tractors and some of their farm equipment.
Now the horses, will they'll do just like farm work, just like they do today pretty much, except on a scale of 150 years ago, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, now when will this start?
This will start at 10.
On Saturday, May 5th?
On Saturday, May 5th, and end at about 4 o'clock, weather permitting.
Some other notes in the news. Large wind farms slightly increased temperatures near the ground as the turbine's rotor blades pull down warm air, according to researchers who analyzed 9 years of satellite readings around 4 of the world's biggest wind farms. Local sportsmen may be upset as they discover some of Fulton County's prime hunting and fishing land is up for sale. Nearly 1,500 acres north of the Duck Creek Power Station is included in the June 13th auction. The tracts range in size from 23 up to 400 acres, which is farm pasture land that is mostly reclaimed strip mine land, according to Brian Brech, a spokesman for Ameren. The main byproduct of biodiesel production might prove an economical ingredient in livestock feed. Glycerol is separated from oil through a chemical reaction during the biodiesel production process. The oils without the glycerol become the biodiesel. The glycerol removed could be used as an ingredient in cattle feed. The High Plains Journal has reported that studies by Texas AgriLife Research and West Texas A&M University personnel have evaluated the energy value of the glycerin in replacing corn or hay in cattle diets. AgriLife Research beef cattle nutritionist Dr. Jim McDonald is comfortable with using crude glycerin up to 7.5% of a diet. He adds that no negative impacts were observed on animal health up to 10% inclusion in diets of newly received calves. The National Biodiesel Board notes capturing the value of byproducts is becoming increasingly important as production volumes rise. Archer Daniels Midland says its fiscal third quarter profits dropped 31%. The Decatur-based company blamed the drop on one-time charges and lower profits at its ethanol and oil seeds businesses. For the quarter ending March 31st, the agribusiness conglomerate reported a net income of $399 million, or 60 cents per share. That's down from $578 million, or 86 cents per share, in the same quarter last year. Once again, the DTN general opening call for later this morning. Expect corn to open 3 to 4 lower, beans 8 to 9 lower, wheat 6 to 7 lower. The overnight crude oil market, 39 cents lower at 105.77. Brent crude, 28 cents lower at 119.38. The June gold contract, $8.90 lower at $1,653.50. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets, beginning this morning at 9:32 with the opening commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. The Farm Show this morning brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, by Hickory Grove Family Farms, and by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro.